chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Now, before I start this message, several of you have reminded me that South Carolina women are playing in the national championship right now, and I appreciate the reminder. I know, and Michael just let me know that they're losing 5-1. But this message was completed before they made it to the national championship, okay? Okay? This is a very short message, but it was completed before they made it to the national championship. So I don't want to hear any lip after this is over. Huh? Yeah. Genesis chapter 8 is, there's not a lot of information in Genesis chapter 8, but there's too much not to go if I went to two chapters. So it's going to be a short message. And not one person said amen. Not even Angie Page. She did? Allison said amen? Okay, all right. All right. Last week, we listened as God told Noah that his work was complete to enter the ark. We once again heard God telling Noah that he alone was righteous in all the earth, meaning no others were worthy to enter the ark to be saved from certain destruction. We're not sure that Noah's righteousness was credited to his family, but we did see that his wife, his three sons, and their wives were allowed to enter the ark along with a number of animals that were organized, but not given a true number as to exactly how many were on board. All we know is that all kinds came. We know that but we don't know exactly how many. We know that clean and unclean animals were allowed on board, and when the time came, God shut them all in, and the heavens opened, and the waters beneath the earth broke their gates as well. Tonight we're going to see what happened next on the ark. So let's look at Genesis chapter 8. God remembered Noah, as well as all the wildlife and all the livestock that were with him on the ark. God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water began to subside. The sources of the watery depths and the floodgates of the sea were closed, and the rain from the sky stopped. The water steadily receded from the earth, and by the end of 150 days, the water was decreased significantly. The ark came to a rest in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, in the tenth month, on the first day of the month. The tops of the mountains were visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and he sent out a raven. It went back and forth until the waters had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see whether the water on the earth's surface had gone down. But the dove found no resting place for her foot. She returned to him in the ark because water was covered the surface of the whole earth. He reached out and brought her into the ark to himself. So Noah waited 7 more days, and he sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove came to him at the evening, there was a plucked olive leaf in her beak. So Noah knew that the water on the earth's surface had gone down. After he had waited another 7 days, he sent out the dove, but she did not return to him again. In the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the water that had covered the earth was dried up. Then Noah removed the ark's cover and saw the surface of the ground was drying. But on the 27th day of the second month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and livestock, creatures that crawl on the ground, and they will spread over the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah, along with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, came out. All wildlife, all livestock came out. All wildlife and all livestock, every bird and every creature that crawls on the earth came out of the ark by their groups. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took some of every kind of clean animal and every kind of clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man, even though man's inclination is evil from his youth. And I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come into your house tonight. We pray that you would be with us tonight as we study your word. God, please help us to feel your presence, to know you're with us, God. Help us to learn something from your word tonight, that we be better servants for you. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. The major theme of this chapter is renewal and rest after tribulation. Fitting song that y'all sung just a few minutes ago. I mean, God gives us rest after tribulation. We are either walking towards a storm, we are walking in a storm, or we are approaching a storm. A storm is approaching. I used to fight it. It used to get me mad. Amy can give you testimony of things that have happened since she and I've gotten married, and it's not her fault. It's not my fault. But when storms used to come, it used to drive me crazy. And there's been times in my life where I didn't think I was going to be able to make it through the storm. I know some of y'all can testify with me. But through the few years that I've lived, y'all, we've got to learn to dance in the storm. We've got to learn to buy a rain jacket and stand in the storm, laugh at the storm. As you look at the encounter that Jesus and the disciples had in the middle of the Red Sea when the storms came, the apostles ran to Jesus and they were scared to death. They were absolutely scared to death. Said, why are you doing this? We're about to die and you're down here sleeping. And we've got to learn, as they should have learned, just to crawl up next to Jesus and go to sleep. Or to shake our fist at the sky and say, don't you know who's on board here? This message tonight in the center again is about renewal and rest in the midst of tribulation. Genesis chapter 8 archives in history the end of the great storm and the beginning of a brand new life for God's people and His creation. Warren Wiersbe feels that there are five major sections to this chapter. Now, we didn't see it from the perspective that Noah saw it. Noah saw it as it was all being destroyed, as it was all covered with water, and as the waters receded. Now, what we see is the exact thing that, you know, I tell y'all that senior citizens go up every year in the fall and they look at the leaves and say, look at all the beautiful things that God created. This is a beautiful creation. Well, this isn't God's original creation. It is God's creation, but it's not His original creation. Noah saw the inception of the second creation. Y'all with me? Now, I can't weigh it or tell you how it compares to the original creation. One day I believe I'm going to be able to see the original creation when I stand in heaven. I believe we'll be allowed to see that in all of its beauty and all of its wonder and all of its majesty. I really do. So there's five major sections to chapter 8. The first section is entitled, God Remembers His Own. And it's seen in verse 1. God says in verse 1, Moses says in verse 1, God remembered Noah as well as all the livestock that were with him on the ark. Now, I've been asked several questions concerning the flood in the last few weeks. Some questions I could answer and some questions I really couldn't answer. Like, why did God not just destroy the whole world with the flood in 1 week or 1 month? Y'all ever thought about that? I mean, God's God. When He put Noah in the ark, He could have instantaneously, you know, flooded the earth and been done with it in a day, and the waters receded. Why? I mean, this whole process, Noah being on the ark and the waters there and the waters gone, Noah was on the ark for over a year. Anybody want to sign up for that? Hey, listen, I love going with my wife on vacation on a cruise ship, but I don't want to go for a year. I really don't. Not a whole year. I might try a half a year, but not for a whole year. Now, there's some answers I just don't have, questions I don't have an answer for. Here's another one. Did the people of that day, and I think Angela, you asked me this question. Did the people of that day have boats of their own? I don't know. Could be. I can't answer that question. When Noah got on the ark, you know, were the other people, they didn't have motorboats, Angela. Okay. Did they have fishing boats? I don't know. I don't know. Looking at the whole flood experience, I don't know why God didn't do several things that he did. All I know is he did them the way he did them. And if God did something, he did it for a reason. We see in verse 1 that God remembered Noah and the animals. Now, let me ask you, do you think that God would remember Noah and these animals and not remember you? I mean, we get down sometimes. I get down sometimes. I mean, I talk to the deacons. The deacons know me, and I feel like I have the pulse of the deacons. There's been times, and I've told y'all this, where you could have found me underneath my desk sucking my thumb. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, goodness gracious, I mean, what else is going to happen? God knows where I am. God knows where you are. God knows where every single one of us are. We look at things that happen in our life, and they just pile up and pile up and pile up and pile up. And we just want to say, you know, God, what's going on here? Now, I have learned this, and I suggest that you take, if you don't take anything away from this, you take the advice that I'm getting ready to give you. You know, I know that harder times are coming. I've preached messages on that, Brother White. You know that. Harder times are coming. I'm either going to have to bury her, or she's going to have to bury me. I know harder times are coming. But God knows where we are. God knows exactly where we are. And he's going to help us to get through every situation in life. And as we look and we understand that God remembers his own, he knows us. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you belong to him. You belong to him. Steve quoted, or he quoted part of Matthew chapter 6 this morning, Matthew chapter 6, 33. Wretched Kenny Korn, one of my professors in class, I had to memorize Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 33, and quote it verbatim as an assignment. So don't ask me to do it now. I'm not doing it now. I refuse to do it now. And you either got an A or you got an F. But it's the truth. God knows exactly where we are. If you belong to him, he knows who you are and where you are. We see in verses 8b through chapter 8, verse 1b through 14, God renewing his world. So the first part, we see God remembers us. The second thing is we see God renewing. God renewing his world. We see that God caused the wind to blow over the face of the earth. He shut the doors of the watery depths and the waters that were coming from the floodgates of the sky. And he stopped the rain. And we see that after 150 days, the water had receded significantly, and the ark came to rest on the top of Mount Ararat. After 40 days of no rain, Noah opened the window that he built. We see that Noah sends out a raven first and then a dove to test to see if there was any dry ground. Noah did this several times until one day the dove came back to him with an olive leaf, and 7 days later he sent the dove out once again and she never came back. Noah then removed the cover of the ark but waited secure until God told him to leave. That's something that we need to note. He waited secure in the ark until God told him to leave. Well, what are you saying there, Brother Kyle? Noah was obedient to the very end of his task. To the very end of his task, he was obedient to God. Now what are you saying? Can you imagine how it smelled in this ark? Can you imagine? Now listen, if you want to get just a glimpse of it, go one Wednesday night to the old Terry Chapel after the kids have game time. There were several times last year, Brother Gary, you remember that the air conditioning broke and they had game time. Bill's not, I'm sorry, Bill. I apologize, man. But the air conditioning was broken. The kids, I mean, it was like Michael Sparks ran them extra that night. And then they went to council time at Old Terry Chapel. And then after we got done here, I went in to just, you know, sit in the back and listen to the end. And it was like, oh, golly. Whew. Y'all, it's bad. It is bad. I mean, I didn't know children could smell that bad. And then I looked up and Vicky was there. I was like, oh, okay, I got it. But can you imagine? We don't know how many animals were on the boat. We don't have a clue of how many animals were on the ark. We know how they came on and how God organized them, but we don't know how many were on that ark. We used to have two birds in our house. Those birds were nasty, y'all, just the birds. And we had a dog, and we had to have a rabbit. Any of y'all have a rabbit in the house? Rabbits were not meant to be in the house. And my wife and children had the bright idea, hey, listen, we're not going to cage the rabbit. We're just going to let the rabbit bounce around the house. He's going to go where he wants to go. Do y'all know rabbits like to eat telephone cables and cable TV wires? I learned something else, y'all. Listen, you know what else rabbits like to do? They like to hide from you. And when you try to find the rabbit because you're afraid the rabbit's going to die in the house, the rabbit's underneath the bed, and you try and grab the rabbit, rabbits growl, y'all. I'm really not trying to be funny. Ryan, I'm serious. If I'm lying, I'm telling you. That rabbit hid underneath the bed, and I tried to grab the rabbit bit me. Rabbits are not going to bite me in my own house. There's things that I've done in my past. As a married man, I regret. I had a yard sale one time when Amy was out of town. Don't do that. You don't do that. But you know, when that rabbit bit me, Miss Desi, we didn't have a family meeting and say, look, you know, we need to get rid of the rabbit. We didn't. Angie, you might want to cover your ears. I didn't kill that rabbit. I didn't. But I grabbed that rabbit by the back of its head, and I threw it over the neighbor's fence, and I haven't seen that rabbit since. I just hadn't. We had a what? Yeah, a rat ball. We had a, yeah. What do you say? Listen. Can you imagine being on the ark this long? Over a year with all them animals? Yeah. For over a year? Listen, being in the confines of a cold, damp, dark boat for that long, Noah had not seen dry ground in days. But was not about to come out of that ark until God told him to come out. That's faithful to the end. As soon as I saw dry ground and I'd smelled that ark for over 100 days, listen, I'd be stepping out. Or I'd be opening the door trying to air the place out. He didn't do it. He was faithful to the end. Now, on a side note, talking about the receding waters, this, that, and the other, and Miss Desi knows where I'm getting ready to go with this, I believe. As you look at the geography of the world, please notice that God, in His grand design, I mean, God left fingerprints of the flood all over the earth. How many of y'all have ever gone to see the Grand Canyon? How many of y'all have ever seen the Grand Canyon on TV? We all have. As you look at the Grand Canyon, you can see where water has receded. The scientists will tell you there were great large amounts of water that we can't account for. But this was a large drainage. And I'm like raising my hand in front of the TV. I was like, I can account for it. I can account for it. Have you ever noticed when they find dinosaur bones that the dinosaur bones just, I mean, most of the time aren't just laying on top of the ground? They're under large sediment. Well, what is sediment? It's layers of earth. Well, where did all this sediment come from? Have y'all ever, you know, gone swimming in a nasty lake? And stuck your, you know, we used to live on Lake Wiley, and it's full of clay, and we used to dive down when we were kids. We used to have mud ball wars. Y'all ever done that? Until some kid, I mean, it was all fun and games until some kid got hit with a shell. And then it was all over, so he had to go home bleeding and all that. But we used to stick our feet in the mud and see how long we could stay underwater. But what the mud was just layers of sediment over years, periods of time. Well, this flood was all over the earth. Every bit of the earth was underwater. So you're going to have natural layers of sediment on top of these dinosaur bones. These scientists, they're so smart, Miss Desi, but they're not, are they? They're not. And I know you being a science teacher, you probably wanted to smack them, didn't you? Okay, thank you. Now, we see in verse 15 through 19, God rewarding Noah's faith. Warren Wiersbe says, Noah was a man of faith, whose name is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 with those other heroes of the faith. He had faith to walk with God when the people of the world were ignoring and disobeying God. We need some people like that today, church. We do. He had the faith to work for God and to witness for God when opposition to truth was a popular thing. We need some people like that, church. We really do. Now that the flood was over, Noah exercised faith to wait on God before leaving the ark. God's reward to Noah and his family was safety through the storm for over a year in the ark. God also prepared the earth for them before he left the ark. Now, we see in verse 20 that God receives worship. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took some of every kind of clean animal and every kind of clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man, even though man's inclination is evil from his youth. We see in verse 21 and 22, the last of the five major sections as God reaffirms the natural order of the earth. Look at verse 21. And I just read verse 21, but I'll read it again. It says, When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man, even though man's inclination is evil from youth. And I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done. Now, this inclination of man, did y'all see that? I read it twice. God said it, I didn't. We can't deny it. Because God said it. God says that man's inclination is evil from his youth. Do you know who God's talking about there? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. And what he's saying there is when we are tempted, we tend to side on bad judgment. Our inclinations are bad. Well, Brother Kyle, I just don't believe that. Look at our society. Look at our culture. Look where we are today. And we just finished the book of Revelation. We know where we're heading. But look at our society today. We call right wrong and wrong right. We've taken the natural order of man and woman and warped it, and we've got a group of people who are saying, listen, it's perfectly okay for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. And listen, that's against what the Word of God says. Well, Brother Kyle, that's your opinion. No, that's what the Word of God says. Well, that's your opinion. No, that's what the Word of God says. It's not my opinion. As a Christian, I don't have the luxury of forming an opinion. I either stand with the Word of God or I stand on my own. And church, that's what's wrong with society. They're standing on their own. They have nothing to stand on but their own. Lastly, the thing I want you to understand is this. As we look at this chapter as a whole, Everything God did for Noah, do I have your attention? Everything God did for Noah, Jesus has done that and much more for us. Everything God did for Noah, Jesus has done that and much more for us. Church, we have absolutely nothing to fear if our faith is in Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Let's all stand. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for Genesis chapter 8. Lord, we thank you that we can see your fingerprints all over this world, evidence of you, what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. God, we thank you that you're alive. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. God, you've allowed us to stand in the storm and proclaim your name. And God, I pray that that's all we'll ever do. God, we know storms are coming. We know trials are coming. We know tribulation's coming. We know hard days are coming. But you know exactly where we are, just as you knew where Noah was. Lord, help us to praise you in all things. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?